Honorable Deputy Minister, welcome. Together with your delegation, we are happy to have you here. I did receive the apology of the minister, who sincerely wanted to be here with us. We accepted that for as long as you are here, it's sufficient for us to proceed. Now, what we're going to do, committed minister, will start by allowing your delegation to introduce themselves, and I'm sure we have someone from National Treasury. Yeah, as well as the Auditor General to introduce themselves, allow members of Parliament to introduce themselves, so we know who is here, and then we can then engage. But I want to start by making a request that please, can we switch our cellular phones off? Please, don't put it on silent, just switch it off. Because if it's on silent, when it rings, whatever is being said, understand that it's not being recorded. So, please just shut off for this 1.5 hours to 2 hours that we're going to be here. We don't intend to be long. Let the officials keep us long. Otherwise, from our side, we want to do this quick, go into other things. So please, just switch it off. Don't put it on flight mode. But having said that, Comrade Deputy Minister and the delegation would afford you the opportunity to introduce yourselves, and then we can then get into the business of the day.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Kazuma Paswe, Deputy Minister of Defence and Military Veterans.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Sipius Okello, the Acting Chief for Military Veterans.
Morning, Chairperson. Lefani Maje, Deputy Director General Corporate Services, Department of Military Veterans.
Morning, Chairperson. My name is Alex Mahalpa. I just started on the 1st as a Deputy Director General for Socio-Economic Support in Military Veterans.
Morning, Chairperson. I'm Sibongise Ndlovu. I just started on Monday as the Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Vernon Jacobs, Chief Director, Skills Development and Empowerment, and Acting DDG in Empowerment and Stakeholder Management.
Morning, Chair and Members. My name is Mbelo Musi, Head of Communication, TNA.
Good morning, Chair and Members. It's Sipoma Jombozi, and I'm the Chairperson of the Turnaround Strategic Intervention for the Department of Military Veterans.
Morning, colleagues and honorable members. I'm Moses Ramsey, DMV in the planning section.
Morning, colleagues. My name is Sandra Masangemi, from finance section.
Morning, sir. My name is Peter Ndavinde, the parliamentary liaison officer and office of the Minister for Defense and Military Veterans.
Morning, honorable members. I'm Smakele Mwashuli, the director in the office of the DG.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Lydia Miso. I'm the director internal audit, DMV.
Chairperson, my name is Maliko Konza, the media liaison for the deputy minister.
Morning, Chairperson. My name is Ethan Klein. I'm the head of the deputy minister's office.
Morning, members. My name is Renan Rondella, Public Finance National Treasurer.
Okay, thanks.
Good morning, members. My name is Amin Amod. I'm a member of the Audit Committee of the DMV.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and members. My name is Lawrence Van Fielen. I'm the Business Executive responsible for the DMV portfolio in the Auditor General.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Ndali Jain. I'm the senior manager responsible for the audit of Department of Military Veterans.
Right. Thanks. May we have members introducing themselves? We'll start with the comrade right at the back.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. I'm Dumzani Kamet, a member of the Portfolio Community on Defense and Military Veterans.
Thank you.
Good morning, Jaheed Iso, member of the Portfolio Committee and Standing Committee on Defense.
Good morning, and members. My name is David Ross, and I'm the member of the SCOPA Committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sindra Azizic, and I'm a member of SCOPA.
Good morning, Nkulewati, I'm a member of COPA.
Good morning, Saki Ketan is my name, I'm a member of SCOPA.
Good morning, my name is Sabrina Shua, I'm a member of COPA.
Good morning, Vincent Smith, member of COPA.
Good morning, Ntate Nkuno, member of COPA.
Good morning, Yami Dezibore, member of COPA.
Thank you, Chairperson. Malik Mr. Mutimele, Chairperson, Defense and Military Veteran, Co-Chairperson, Johnston, Committee on Defense.
Right. Thank you very much. Comrade Temba Kuti, I chair the committee. Right. I hope we all have of the program, so we know what is going to happen. Zumbi, can you make it available to share? Comrade Deputy Minister, it will be recalled that sometimes last year we had engagement with this department. And we undertook to remain engaged with this department until we are satisfied that things are at a satisfactory level. We also made a request for continuous briefing on steps that are being taken to correct things from that day going forward. That resolution was passed by the House. I would imagine that the Speaker's office would have forwarded it to your office. But of course, your governmental liaison people, whose job it is to keep an eye on parliamentary process, would have forwarded this to you. We did receive a document that was talking to changing the situation in the department. But I think the one that I had time to go through was really not up to scratch in relation to the issues that we had raised. So it is no wonder, Comrade Deputy Minister, that we had to have this meeting as part of that process of trying to say, let's continue to interface so that from your side there's clarity about our areas of concern, the areas that we want to see addressed, and how we also could assist the process. We are also aware that the department has moved from a disclaimer to a qualified audit opinion. This is also, I think, two or so issues. Although, of course, there are other findings indicating that all is not well in the department. So we would want to have this engagement to try and further say, let's look at these areas of common concern and how do we deal with them. I don't want to go into the importance of the department and the people it's supposed to serve, and how they see those people. I don't want to go into those, but I'm sure every dish, some of these things are going to come out. Safe to say that we welcome you. We will be engaging with the officials, I'm sure, as we'll be sitting and listening. At the end of the engagement, Comrade Deputy Minister, I'll give you an opportunity to, for a minute or two, talk to some of the issues that, from your level as the executive authority, you would want to give guidance to us, that would clarify for us. Well, let me hand over to our program. Let me hand over to Comrade Boy to start the first engagement. Comrade Chair, I understand that you will have an early departure. I don't know which one, but I understand you will have an early departure. Okay, no, that's fine. But before you leave, if there's anything we want to talk to between you, we'll certainly give you the opportunity to. All right. Comrade Boy?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. You have already indicated that this is a very important area of our work. And good morning, my chair, in our committee. This is what we do. We go to finances here. And the one part that is miserable about the progress not made, Chairperson, is the understanding. Now, I saw that last time you, the acting DG, you were the finance man of the department. Would you tell us that what is your challenge? Why did you have to understand and tell that it can come in and take the money? That is our first concern. That's why the audit is not only the first thing that you have understood. What is your challenge? We thought that when you said out of honesty to all of you that you need to come back and let us know. We wanted to assess your capacity. But it does seem that the fact that you got your qualification is an ongoing problem of capacity within this area of work. Now, you see, the one thing that I know where I sit at, and it is quite large on my dictionary, that if one soldier doesn't protect another soldier, it becomes a problem. And that's what is going to determine our understanding with you here, that you are here to protect those soldiers that can't be protected. South African people have provided money and have given them out of the fiscal for them to be able to fight poverty and for them not to die of poverty. But the DMV doesn't have its act together. It's still not dying of poverty today. And we are being accused as this government of not being able to do anything. Now, if you have not spent the money, what is wrong? Can you give us a sense? What are your challenges? That's my first question.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. The member is correct that the department has been understanding. But the main challenge of the department being understanding is in terms of the capacity. The position which were not being filled.
Just pull the mic closer to you.
The position that were not being filled.
Okay. So, no, that's fine. So it's not an act of God. They didn't have capacity. They didn't employ people, so they could not send. Continue.
So, how do you feel about that? Because I'm going to the next question. It was quite clear that soldiers are choosing this government of not being able to do this work. And we have created a department and have put money to it. The part that is also sore about this thing is that you don't have, you can't even register our assets that we provided to you. What is wrong with your area of work? And go flowing from that, there is a fact that the auditor general, when he arrives in the offices, is what we have been questioning last time. He can't find the statement to back up the work of auditing.
What is the problem? Is calling you at lack of capacity, or what is the problem?
Chairperson, the honorable member has asked you that how do I feel about it? Immediately when one took care to act, one of the things that we have decided is to go through the annual report and the problems that are challenging the department. The one that one sees that is based on the capacity, we know that the critical positions that need to be filled, let me act immediately to make sure that those critical positions are filled immediately. One of those positions is the CFO position, of which it was been vacant for a whole year. As the members might see right now that I already appointed the CFO.
How does the special critical position become vacant for a year? CFO. How does it happen?
And that's the question, don't mislead us. Because when we left us here, last year, we told you quite frankly that these are the challenges. And it's quite clear, at that stage, we didn't want to go scope into the dynamics of TMZ. But the CEO and the finance person at that stage were at war with each other. And we raised it quite strongly here. That is very critical for you to be able to sort out this problem immediately. But you're telling us after a year, and after you're coming back to see us. I hope you understand that soldiers in the meantime are dying like coppers. What is it that they're telling us about? Because I'm asking, how do you feel when you go to all the funerals of these different MK soldiers and other people? How do you feel when there's literally the money that has been given by the public to you to be able to provide for them? You're not able to fulfill that responsibility. And you come back after a year to come and tell us quite briefly that you're still in a position when people have died. I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense.
Chairperson, as I indicated, that I feel very bad as well. But the mere fact is, the truth is, that the position was not filled for quite a long time. One of the things that the position that was vacant was is for the DDG, so social economy, of which right now that DDG we have employed that DDG. The other DDG that will be leading the branches as well, right as we speak now, is in the process of assessments. So the reason why I'm highlighting that, to show that what we said last time, we apologize to the committee to take that long to fill this position. But as a department, we are committed to make sure that all the capacity we need to, that we need, now it will be in place. That's, we feel very, very bad. And also, in terms of the spending pattern, Chairperson, as I indicated that there are invoices, when we analyze, we find that some of the invoices were not even received by the department on the medical side. On the medical side, because when we engage with firms, we find that there are invoices to the value of 79 million that were not received, according to the department. What we have done as a department, we put a team of firms and the department to go through the process of getting all the legitimate invoices from firms, so that it can be processed as soon as possible. Because, honorable members, we feel bad to see that our military veterans,
no, that's fine. I think it's good to feel bad, but the fact that it was allowed to happen by us, not by the devil, but by us, the people who lived and went with them. Now that we're in comfortable positions, we look the other side to our own things. Very bad, very bad.
It's an indictment. You still feel bad, you're a courageous person, actually. But when you look at the state of things, it's bad. You see, when it's being said that there's an absence of senior management to approve payments timely, that's why our comrades and our own friends, children, are out of school.
because you had people there, as the chairperson have already said, that you don't believe, because you've been provided this responsibility to our own people. And our people said, in the contribution that different soldiers have made from different armed forces, it's important for us to create DMV and be able to use the field card. Now, the way we are abusing this privilege given to our own people, it's haunting us. It's very terrible, because how can senior managers not be present to sign off? This is what the auditor general is telling us. We didn't go there. The auditor general says that you are not on post to sign immediately for people to get their passes, to sign immediately for people to get their house. What type of an organization is this? And these are the questions and issues that they raised to you last time. One thing that is being said by the auditor general, contractual obligations and money owed by the department, when always settled within 30 days or an agreed period. Now I'm trying the example I'm trying to make us to be aware about the 79,000 that you have been doing and looking with. But me, it's all about administration. The administration is not up to standard. They're not able to make use of the fiscal that has been provided by our people, to be able to make sure that we make our soldiers to feel better, that this government cares about them. We are a current government. What type of soldiers are you? We don't care about our own people. Can you explain to us what is going on? The way you are trying to come across, if you are sympathetic or not. For the department does not have appropriate internal controls to ensure compliance with supply chain management. What is going on here? Last time we warned you, then you said to you, this can't happen. Don't go and repeat this thing. Because our people have got huge expectations out of, and we have expected that soldiers are not disciplined and educated within society. But this conduct is quite not acceptable. You can't continue being seen here, you can't even have an internal auditing being done properly. And when the auditor general comes there, there's no books to be able to go along with the auditing processes. What is going on in this particular area of work? Can you give us an explanation without being sympathetic to this? It is disastrous. Our comrades are dying. People are just known. And you want us to accept that you're being sympathetic. It can't be. There's something wrong with your analogy and your feelings about our own comrades.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the preparation of the documents that would support the financial statement, the department will make sure that all the documentation with the when we submit it to AG will have the audit file will have all the supporting documentation as required. Chairperson, I need to highlight as of when one was going through the annual report, immediately we try to engage with the relevant stakeholders. One of the stakeholders is National Treasury, because one was also concerned to say, how do we go about in terms of doing transfer payments for those businesses? And then Treasury gave us a direction to say, how should we go about it in order to perform, not because we were coming here, that meeting took way back on the 9th of February, because we did not want when we transfer and then we also break the law, because we were concerned that even when we transfer, we also comply with the deal, with the script of the law. The other area, Chairperson, because we felt that one of the major stakeholders in the department is the Auditor General themselves. I was having a meeting with the Auditor General myself to devise the strategy to say how Auditor General must monitor the progress on a continuous basis. On that meeting, we agreed with the AG that on a weekly basis, I will be meeting with them in order to get with the senior manager, in order to get so that they will know that based on the action plan, how far we are on it. We can't wait till the end of the year. We want to make every department, the commitment that we are putting, we want to treat each month as a year end. So that when comes the year end, we know that
all the other months have been cleared with all supporting documentation, with if we are preparing the expedition report, the explanation there, does it make sense? Does it talk to the business plan? That are those things that we're going to deal with AG. Also, with the documents, that the approval that it's already taken place, is it within the ambiguous or the law? That is another stakeholder that we will be dealing with.
So you are saying to us here that you want to outsource yourself and give that responsibility to the Auditor General. So that means that the employment of these people, you are invalidating it. Because you want the Auditor General to come and sit in your office and not do auditing, but listen to you when you can't do your work. I'll show you that it's true that you, it seems as if all of you have to be fired because it doesn't make sense in the manner that they're putting it. The Auditor General says and deals with material understanding of the budget. He says, as disclosed in the appropriation statement, the department has materially understood the budget and current payments and
payments. Let's do understanding deals with
Yeah, and that's the reason when it comes to inefficiencies that are occurring. I'm not going into it.
Okay.
Yeah. You see, it deals with also, let me leave that one. Let me deal with you why you got this significant matters of emphasis. The restatement of corresponding figure. What the Auditor General says. That's why I think it's a problem. As disclosed in Note 27 to the financial statement, the corresponding figures for 31st March 2014 have been restated as a result of errors discovered during the year ended 31st March. Now these are errors established. So it's quite clear you are saying to us that you can't do your work. That's what they are saying. If the Auditor General goes to your office and he, after he has now made it and looked around for the paperwork, he finally gets it, but he finds a lot of errors, which become a problem that puts this into jeopardy. That's why I'm still saying that we are not able to handle that. That's why we have understand on the mandate we have given. Because clearly, we are not able to do the profile. What is the problem? This is what I wanted to get to. You can't tell me that it's because of non-existence of people. There are those of you that have been employed for quite some time. What have you been doing at work? When you go to work, what happens to you? How many protest actions, if you can just draw some information, have ever taken place against the DLV? And how we dealt with their privileges? That is an additional one. For me to be able to understand the strength and the level of the problems that are within DMV itself, of non-performance by people who are employed. They're employed to deliver, not employed government. And consent here and outsource yourself to the Auditor General. That can't happen. We either employ you to do the work or then stand aside and find people to do the work. What is the problem?
I'm listening to the responses and I think there is a consistent trend. Now, I don't know how far you still wanted to go. I wanted us to try something. People can't go to Plattsburgh, to our colleague. Because like I say, so far, to all your questions, there is a trend, there is a consistent threat in the responses. And I fear that in this line of questions, it might be the same response. From resistance, it might be the same response. Now, I'm trying to process it in my own head. I wish we could go ahead with it. Because their response centers around one thing, they have capacity. That's it. However, whatever you're going to raise, they have capacity. Seriously. So, it would be like we were moving in one cycle. I'm just thinking aloud. Yes.
No, I'll allow you to go through, Chairperson. But you see what you always do for officials to be able to understand where they put themselves into is when you take you through to the religion of duties. And as a counting officer, and you see the parliament, you are putting yourself into that. You see.
and any accountable officer should supposed to be very aware what the PFMA says. So when the chairperson start drawing the line or saying that they are being consistently telling us the same story, you are creating a problem for yourself and for us. We have what we do, and the PFMA is guiding us what to do when officials don't perform. And you have taken responsibility to remain in accounting field. So there's nothing that isn't that solves the chairperson to handle the matters that we've been handling with other departments. The PFMA department is guiding us. If he doesn't want to answer us and continuously repeating us, you know where we stand with these matters as of now. You either criminalize him and he becomes a criminal and we deal with the official profile, or we leave him and or he face disciplinary action. This is at the parliamentary level. So this opportunity, I'm just trying to let him understand the severity of the problem. If he doesn't want to open up or talk to us, as we have done last year, when he sat here, he promised us all these good things that we are going to do. After a year, he comes back to us, he repeats the same thing. So quite clearly that it's in his mindset to undermine Parliament and think that we have got a bruised cut up of a reason. Where the discuss is and where understanding is a problem, we have to be quite strict and quite clear. It's a point in
chapter 7. Yeah, no, you know what I want to do? I want us to try this. I want to go to blood. I'll come back to you, depending on how it unfolds. Let me come to you and deal with your faction and then see how it unfolds. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Minister, Mr. Shokela. Who was the DG before you?
Chairperson, the DG was Mr. Matumi, and then finishing up at 31st of July last year, and then immediately after that.
Why did he leave?
The contract.
What happened to the previous DG?
The contract came to an end for the DG.
Okay, and why was it not renewed?
That I was not able to answer because that is the prerogative of the minister to say I renew the contract or not renew the contract.
Context of my question is simple. We have a, I don't know if you could give our, we were talking about medical diagnosis in the house yesterday. I don't know if there is a medical term for this, but we have a condition where wherever we arrive in Skopje and we question people, we have all the new people. I don't know if it's new people, or if it could given a medical condition. But we have it again today, Mr. Shokela. I'm grateful that you're here, but you cannot tell us things about the cost. So maybe the minister can help us. Why was the previous DG's contract not renewed? If I may be so bold as ask. Deputy Minister?
Chairperson, the contract of then DG Mr. Mudumi came to an end. We did have a discussion with the minister and assess his performance. And we have came to a conclusion that because of the his performance that was not up to standard, we then decided we cannot renew his contract because that department, as you correctly said, last time represent that the department is in a sorry state. So we didn't want to go back to a sorry state with a lack of leadership. So we wanted the leadership that to be able to take the department forward. And as I speak now that we're in the process of appointing a new DG who will be able to lead the department.
What specifically was it about Mr. Martini that he did wrong? Can you list the areas that were problematic and why you terminated his contract, or why the contract that you came to and why you did not renew?
As I have alluded to the house that we made assessments and we realized that there was a lack of leadership in the department. So if the accounting officer cannot do his work, why should we keep a person who is not up to his standards? So we can't keep a person who is not performing. So if a person does not perform, we must get another test and we'll be able to perform. So we came to that conclusion that he's not performing, we have to change him.
Deputy Mayor, what does the lack of leadership mean? He's giving us an incredibly vast answer, I understand, no politicians, but what does lack of leadership mean? I need you to spell out to us, you had somebody in position. The contract expired at the end of July. So since 1 August we haven't had anybody. And now we have Mrs. Sotela, who is getting water because he doesn't know what happened before. And so your manager, your leadership, Deputy Minister and the Minister in absence of the Minister, have led us to this situation. Do you have a lack of leadership in terms of the fact that you know a contract has come to the end of the period? You're not going to assess whether it should to renew it. But in the instance that you decide that the previous person has the same problem as you have, lack of leadership, what is the plan B? Who starts on 1 August? Was that even considered or thought about? Let's not renew this one, but on 1 August, well, I don't know what we're going to do. What contingency plan was in the place in yourself, in your minds of the minister and yourself, sir, to make a plan for 1 August? Can you please respond to that? And more detail as to what a lack of leadership means in that story. Thank you.
Yeah, I think
Chairperson, we are here because of the lack of leadership. If the department had a leader who was able to oversee the performance of the department and people under him, wouldn't be here accounting like this as a department on a negative way. So as a leader, he must be able to assess and make sure that do I continue with the same person or not. So you don't remove a person and appoint another person tomorrow. You go through the process of advertising for the position. And after advertising for the position, you go for the purposes of shortlisting, interviews, and going to the assessment. And as I said, we have started those processes in the department, and we are intending that by May, we'll be having an accounting office at DG.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. So what effect are you telling scope today and the nation, because this is televised? And for 9 months, you're not going to have a DG. 1 August to May. That's 9 months. And in your mind, that's acceptable. Thank you, Deputy Minister. Can we go back to this, Mr. Sekela? Mr. Sekela, the Chief Financial Officer. I'm just drilling down into a couple of issues, Chair, and then I'll move on to, because this is important. The Chief Financial Officer. Who was the previous Chief Financial Officer? Do you know?
Chairperson, it was Mr. Chimamala.
Chimamala, why is he no longer the Chief Financial Officer?
Chairperson,
when did this gentleman cease to be the
Chief? First of March, last year.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So now it's about 10 months.
I don't have the details of why the CFO left. I don't have the full details.
Thank you. Deputy Minister, do you know?
There were disciplinary processes that were undertaken by the department against the Chief Financial Office. What happened is that he kept on giving us the doctor's signal when you're supposed to appear. So he delayed the processes for a long time. That is why it took so much time to appoint a CFO. Up until he took a decision that now we can't wait any longer for leaving this position vacant for such a long time. It was on the side of really the then CFO who kept on coming with the doctor's note, postponing the disciplinary processes. But ultimately, he was then fired. That is why we have appointed the new CFO.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. So he was let go on the grounds of incapacity. That's fine. That's understandable. What has been done since the 1st of May last year till now to appoint a CFO? Can you explain why May to December is 7 months, and then we're in the 3rd month now, so we've got 2 months, 9 months, seven at a CFO? Is this again a lack of leadership, sir?
The challenge that we have, Chairperson, is that sometimes when there's a shortlisting, because of the challenges of the department, we didn't want just to appoint a person because of qualifications. We want to get the best out of the candidates that were there. So we did not, at the first time, get the correct candidate. That is why we had to re-advertise again for the candidate. And that is why now we're saying today we've got the CFO that is confident that this one is going to perform on his duties.
Deputy Minister, are you telling the military veterans out there, the ones that are dying, paupers, as Honourable Boy has brought us, the ones that are struggling just to get onto the military veteran database, the people that have served our country through the various movements during the liberation struggle, the people that put their lives on the line for this country, are you telling them that it's acceptable to wait that period of time to get a chief financial officer to run their affairs and to make sure that the fund that assists us as you mentioned is done properly? Do you really think that's acceptable, sir?
Chairperson, being a military veteran myself, I would not allow that situation to happen where you allow military veterans to die and be buried as paupers. But you don't want to take short routes in order to have a proper functioning department. You need to do things in a correct way. But the database, I'm not sure the person was another question of the database.
Yeah, no, that's not the person going.
The CFO does not deal with the database.
No, I'm saying, no, let's not go into this.
Deputy Minister, how long did the CFO position, I'm trying to draw down, how long did the CFO position remain vacant? From 1 May until? When is it filled? Is the CFO here? When was it filled? You started on Monday.
Just use the mic, please.
You started on this Monday now? Okay. So the CFO, sorry, I've got to contain my incredulation. So this basically 9 months. And every minister, you are sitting there telling us that's acceptable. And that you cannot find a qualified person in 9 months. So I have to contend that is completely and utterly unacceptable. And I'm at the disposal of that of leadership. Let's go to asset register. Ross, the AG has got issues with the asset register. The asset registers, let's just start with asset register. What sort of things are you talking about when you talk about the DMV asset register? Cash obviously is one of the assets. I don't know if it's on the asset register, but are you talking about buildings, vehicles, kettles, microwaves? What's on that asset register?
Thank you, Chairperson. We are talking about the furniture, computers, cars, and all other minor assets, like find any asset that are under 5,000 that are sitting on the asset register.
Okay, and whose job is it to keep control of the asset register?
Chairperson, in terms of the job, the accountability of that law is dedicated to the Army Corps, the CFO.
Absent person has to run that. Okay, so you have indicated to Mr. Honourable Boy earlier that you've got a massive problem with incapacity. Do you have people in the DMV who are able to read?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have people who are able to write?
Yes.
So I'm assuming then you have people who are able to walk across the room, look at an item, right, and a description of the Hatsun, maybe the serial number and the back of the Hatsun onto a piece of paper. Is that in your capacity? Do you have those people who are able to do that?
Chairperson.
In other words, do you have those 12 students?
Chairperson, yes, we do have people that can do the tagging. The tagging has been done as of now. The tagging has been done. So the other register is being updated. Now, what is going to happen?
Is this question? Why was it not done?
Yes, that's my question, because effectively what you've been telling Honourable Boy is how we've got capacity issues. I want to come down to the asset register. The asset register cannot be a capacity issue. The asset register not being correct is a negligence issue. It's a laziness issue. It's a matter of simply not crossing the T's and dotting the I's. It's a matter of a lack of attention to detail. Can you give us some sort of explanation as to why the asset register is out by over 5 million rand? And there has to be a lot of items, because if you're talking about furniture and coffee cups and that sort of thing, you're not talking about military hardware here, that's the Department of Defense. So, you know, can you give any explanation of that 5 million, what it is, and why it was not recorded?
As of now, I can't be able to give the list
as of now.
But if the committee, I can provide the other information.
I think just press on the why part. Why was it not done? Why was it not done?
The problem that has of why. It's difficult for us because the CFO who was there at the time, it's no longer, one did not have a chance to engage with the CFO of the time to say why this thing didn't happen.
So it's a difficult part to answer why.
The only thing, what are we doing from now on to the end of the year?
Mr. Sukela, how long have you been with Dimri?
Chairperson, I will be two months from the 18th of January. I only started 18th, I think, on the TV.
No. I think what he wants in any other capacity, not
yes. With DMV.
Yeah. At DMV, I'm only going to be 2 months at DMV.
Where will you be for, sir?
I'm with DOD.
Sorry?
I'm with DOD.
You're with DOD?
Yes.
So who's the head of internal audit? I heard somebody saying they were involved with internal audit.
I got a director.
DOD. Sorry, ma'am, are you internal audit?
Honorable, yes, I'm the head of internal audit.
How long have you been there?
It's 4 years now.
Internal audit and governance will be dealt with by Congress.
No, I don't want to get into internal. I just want to try and find out with internal audit what the issues would be looking after and asset register, making sure it's not that time also.
Okay.
So I'm trying to work out if everybody here only started in the last 2-3 months. Is there anybody from the 2014-15 period who's actually working for DMV? Or brand new? So now, you were going to give us an answer?
Yes, I started within the Department of Military Veterans in 2011.
Have you been in internal audit since then?
Yeah, I've been in internal audit since then.
Can you tell us what happened to the asset register?
Thank you, Honorable. The asset register was not properly compiled with the deficiencies that were reported by Auditor General. There were gaps in terms of the identification and capturing of the actual description of the assets, and the quantification that also resulted in the pushing.
No, but this question starts right where you are, and why did that happen?
We had the previous chief financial officer, Mr. Jimomola, who was involved in terms of the financial administration and the supply chain management. Within the supply chain management, we don't have a dedicated person to deal specifically with asset management. And when you look at structure within the supply chain management, mainly we have a vacant TP director post which with the assistant directors who were mainly involved within the supply chain process. And the assistant directors were responsible to assist with asset management, including the catering of the assets as if they were identified, the barcoding, and ensuring that the information is provided to the chief financial officer for reconciliation purposes and so that it is captured in the
fund. All those things are saying that's what is on paper. That's the conceptual part. So I'm saying practically that's what was not happening. Why was it not happening?
That was mainly the responsibility of the chief financial officer.
Okay, in terms of your responsibilities in the audit committee, did you at any stage, and I'm talking about as this is, there's real facts on the matter, did you at any stage get hold of the CFO and say, I am concerned that the asset register is not being done properly? Did you raise this with the DG at the time? Did you raise this with the Deputy Minister? Did you raise it with anyone that the asset register issue was not being dealt with? Because from the get-go, you made an assertion that it wasn't being done properly. So I'm just wondering, did you raise it? If you did raise it, were you getting the kind of support you needed to drive the issue home? Can you give us some idea of that? And I'm talking real facts on the ground now.
Thank you, Honorable. With regard to our responsibilities, ensuring that we do consultative assurance services in terms of ensuring that we provide advice to the chief financial officer. This engagement started during the transition, moving from the canal where we were situated in insurance to ensure that the chief financial officer can ensure that all assets are properly checked and proper description is done, the asset register is done. When we move to the new building, we have an adequate asset register so that we continue from the new books. Then that's where engagement was done, but the challenge was that during the transition period, when the move was done from the general to the Hatfield building, there was a period where I was on maternity leave and I couldn't manage to follow up
But
today,
when was that?
It was
that in the last financial year, 2014, 2015?
No, it was the, in the other...
I'm talking about 2014, 2015 today. I'm asking you, in the 2014 to 2015 period, did you raise the flag and say the asset register is out of filter? It's online. And did you get support to fix that? If you did ask the question, if you did raise it, did you get the support to get it done? I understand you move buildings, there's a bit in the air. We all understand that. But in the year specifically.
With the current initial year the reporting period 2014-15, we had the acting chief financial officer, who was Mr. Danny Engelbrecht, and the engagements were done with him to ensure that the asset register is in place, and there were plans as the department also to ensure that we appoint a service provider to assist with the
I have to interrupt you again. I'm sorry, it's not my normal thing, but I think we're getting off track, and I'm getting a bit confused. Matumi, is there a... No. The financial officer has been vacant since 1 May 2015, right?
Yes.
The period that we're talking about is 2014 to 2015, correct?
2014
to 2015. Right, okay. So now you're saying that Engelbrecht was acting during that time.
Mr.
Where was this chief financial officer who was sick all the time?
Mr. Engelbrecht came on board in 2014, it was June, August, as an acting chief financial officer until the ending period, which was August 2015. So during the ending of the 2014-15, he was still in charge as the acting CFO. And during that time, the minister approached the appointment of Mr. Livelo, who came on board to assist with the supply chain management process.
Did you raise the issue and did you receive... What I'm trying to find out is, if you raised the issue, did you get support in doing that? Because the reporters we have is that it's still a problem. I'm just trying to find out, because if you raised the issue, did you get the support from your leadership to say yes and with that. And he's not going to protect anyone. Give us the prospects. Did you raise the issue?
Thank you, Honourable. The issue was raised, but support, adequate support was not provided.
And who should have supported you?
I was actually being supported by the acting person, the chief director of operation management, and the acting chief financial officer.
Okay, and why do you think you didn't get that? Because this is a problem that we pick up all the time in the term order. I'm glad you're getting into this. Okay, well, maybe my colleague can be with it. Okay, but clearly, here, I think we can see here is that the issue was raised. Because we have this moving sand at the moment, where you look here 1 second and somebody else has moved, and then you really got to pay attention. But we've managed to dig to the heart of the fact, in terms of the asset management register, is that the issue was raised by internal audit. But the leadership of the department didn't take it seriously. And I'm sorry, but that goes right up to ministerial level. And that's an issue. So let's move on. Now, the issue of transfer payments. Maybe the current CFO can help us, or maybe Mr. Sekela. But there seems to be an issue here of misallocation. Is that how you understand it, Mr. Sekela? The issue of, this was regarding the payments to MISAS of 175 million and 31 million. Sorry, yeah, that's right. And it seemed that it wasn't allocated properly. So you've got understatements and overstatements. And also it appears that these pre-transfer payments were not made in terms of the memorandum of agreement with NISAS. Can you comment on that? Can you just lead into that, give us some background, and we can drill into it? If you can, do you have any information on it?
Chairperson, the information that I have in terms of that amount that was transferred, the first thing that it did not comply with the treasury regulation, which is saying that the prepayment needed to be avoided. That's the first issue. The other issue was in terms of the MOU with MSFAS, which is saying the transfer will only be transferred once on request of the MSFAS. That was the issue. But in terms of the law, that unless if you got an obligation saying that the amount will only be prepaid as stipulated on the MOU. But that one was not happening. That's why as a department we engage with Commissioner Treasury now to say before we do any transfer, let's find out what is the correct way in order to do it.
Who is responsible for that? For what we've spoken about. It seems from our notes that transfer payments were overstated and prepayments were understated. Who is responsible for that? Would that have been the CFO?
Jefferson, if we look strictly in terms of the PFNA, the everything, it's the responsibility of the accounting officer. Now, in terms of the transfers, those powers were delegated to a CFO to transfer funds, working together with the core function that it's dealing with the core.
You know, regardless of delegation, the accounting officer is still responsible.
Yes, Chairman.
Okay. So, Mr. Masumi, is he still, where is he? Let me guess, he's probably working for the state somewhere else. Do you know? Deputy Minister, do you know who Mr. Matumi is?
He is in the office of the minister.
Wow. Honourable Smith, what do you think of that? Yeah, here it is. So there is the Rontom Tali revolving door policy of the government. So this man gets dismissed, or his contract doesn't get renewed, and now he's in the office of the president. Did you know he was going to the office of the president, Deputy Minister? Sorry, office of the minister. Did you know he was going? Did you not point up to the minister, wow, this sure whether this person is the right person for it.
Is a political advisor.
Okay. Thank you, Deputy Minister.
I don't know how far you still have to go.
Almost.
If you don't mind, I would like you to hold it there. Come back to you.
I'm done.
Effectively.
Sorry, just one last one. Where is this affair? So, I was trying to say about this. Sorry, maybe I'm a bit slow this morning. 2014-2015, I think it's from the 1st of April until the 31st of March. That's our year that we look at. Am I correct? So, if the previous finance chief financial officer, the acting one was Engelbrecht, what was the name of the other one? So I missed that. Am I wrong? Well, was it Engelbrecht all the time? He was acting. So who was the person he was acting for? Do you know?
Yeah, before Engelbrecht, it was the Chimamanda.
That's right. I do apologize. Okay, so Chimamanda then obviously did something wrong. Well, no, he was sick all the time. So then Mr. Engelbrecht came in. Am I right? So was it Chimamanda or Engelbrecht who had the delegation from the missing Matumi, the incredible Matumi, to sort out the prepayments and the overpayments and the transfer payments? Which person has had that responsibility? Chimamanda or Engelbrecht, do you know?
I would not able to give a specific answer on that one because I don't know if those dedication were.
Okay. Mr. Sekela, I'll feel for you. You've been dumped into a situation where you don't know what's going on. Alright. Okay, I'm going to end off with this. I really think in future inquiries, curious, we need to find out where all these people are. Because no doubt, they'll be somewhere in the state. And then we could have called Mr. Matumi here, because as far as I know, we can subpoena anyone. Or we can request anyone to come. We have a power subpoena, but we are nice. We request nicely. But maybe we should have asked Ms. Matumi, please leave the office of your political advising for a day and come and talk to us. And I really think that we need to move, you know, can't be caught out by having people here who don't know. Maybe it's known falsely, but we should be saying, well, let's find that person and tell them to come for the day. We can call anyone in the Republic, as far as I understand, in terms of our powers. Everything you should do that, then I think it would make a lot more. But thank you, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity. I'll know.
No, I'm not with you. I agree with him. I'll tell you why at the end. But let's go to Combat Center and see if we. Well, this is what I should point out. You sit here with a man who's been there for 2 months. I mean, what are you talking about? What are you discussing?
Thank you very much, Chair. Maybe I should start where my colleague ended. You know, Chair, we can't, and I understand. I think we need to be a bit broader than what you're saying, sir. It would be wrong for us to say, where is Mr. Matumi or where is Mr. Smith or whoever it was. This is the accounting officer. He must be named. It will teach him then when he comes tomorrow to come with somebody, sir. Because otherwise, they get off the hook. I mean, he must take responsibility. It's continuation. So I think that's what I just want to say, that we must send a message that you can't come here and say to somebody at yesterday. I think that's where we should be starting. It can't be. It's the same ANC government. It's the same administration. If you choose to play physical chess with yourself, it's your personal current affairs. But that's where we will start. But just to get on to my business here, you know, maybe Mr. Sokera, you and I come a long way, you see, so you can't tell me differently. You were a CFO for many, many years. So you can't tell me differently. I'm just starting there.
CFO way.
Maybe he'll answer with it. Maybe allow him to answer with it, but he's the same. I worked with him many years. I don't want to be the one raising it, but he'll answer that if he chooses to answer it.
Let me just start, Mr. Keller, by saying to you that, you know, the internal audit organogram. Could you give us the internal audit organogram? I know that the head is here, but how many people serve the internal audit? What is your organogram? 10 people, 15 people, 2 people? How many people are in internal audit?
Chairperson, as of now, it's 3 people that are there, which is the director and the deputy director.
I'm saying that because for 2 years in a row, the audit committee and the auditor general raised the concern of lack of capacity. You yourself raised that of lack of capacity. And it's what's the root cause of all this? Because I'm asking you again, these 3 people that you had and you had before, have you any plans of changing them? Have you, or let's put it differently, what is your comment to the statement made by the audit committee and the auditor general for 2014, 15 and 2013-14 that internal audit does not have capacity? What is your comment?
Chairperson, at the moment we are busy revising the structure, including the internal audit one, in order to ensure that it fully capacitated.
What are you saying, sir? I'm asking a question. I asked you how many people you had. You've got 3 people. In your own head as the leader now, what do you think is the ideal organogram? Maybe I should ask you to consult with that young lady that's sitting there. Because she's been here for a while. What we are saying is 3 people for 2013-2014 was not good enough. 3 people for 2014-2015 is not good enough. Why are you continuing to do the same thing and hoping to get a different result next year? So I'm asking you now on the spot, what do you think is the ideal situation? Because we have 3 people for 4 years, paid them, and every year the Auditor General and Internal Auditor, I don't know where they are, they were here just now. The Audit Committee, yes, Mr. Ahmed or somebody. Is he still around? Okay, the chairperson here. He will respond. I'm asking you as the leadership, what are you saying about this Internal Audit Department of yours? Because surely it's not working. What are your plans so that we can hold you to it and say that Mr. Keller, on the 9th of April, made an undertaking that you will restructure it? Or Mr. Keller, on the 9th of April, said he thinks it works so that we can make a resolution at Parliament whether we think that you are fit enough to serve as a CFO or as the CEO?
Chairperson, it's quite clear that the structure we are having is not working for us, for internal audit. That's why we are revising the structure right now to ensure that we got a full capacity. The organization that will talk to the business of the organization. That's what we are looking at the moment.
When do you intend to get, sir? When is your deadline? When can I have a look at an approved organogram? Look, let's talk about that thing, because like I said to you, I've worked many years. You're going to come back and say to me, the minister has not approved it. Therefore, we've not appointed people. I'm asking you in front of the deputy minister, when are you going to have an organogram so that the deputy minister can take it to the minister and insist on urgent approval of internal audit? Because unless you do that, why should we give you a budget? Why should we give you a budget next year? Because we know what could happen to that budget. You're not going to spend, you don't have capacity. So Minister Maphosa, I'm saying to you, unless you guys can do this, I don't think we should be giving you a budget. Honestly, we don't think we should be giving you a budget if you are unable to put into play structures that are going to make sure that money is spent. I'm asking again, by when do you think this is going to be done so that I can hold you accountable to Minister and Deputy Minister? By when will you have an organogram, a proposed organogram?
Chairperson, I think by the end of June, we will have the complete draft organogram for the entire organization, including internal audit.
I think if you come right to me, the problem is the basis of what you are asking.
That is, how do you have an accounting officer who thinks of the department and work in its interest, who thinks that to only have two people in internal audit is fine, it makes. How do you come to such a conclusion? For me, that's been the problem. You either have people who are clueless, or you have people who are not clear. It was almost as if we're starting afresh. So we have a new county officer now going to structure things and talk to the department. So whoever was there, what did you think this talk to? Just the three people, spend all the time. And we continue coming. I just wanted to raise that. To say, you know, some of the things, they just depict some level of, I don't know, thoughtlessness. It's almost like people don't think. They just don't care. They just go through the motions.
Yeah. No, you're right there. You know, accounting officer Matumbo, fortunately, we also met other for a very long time. I heard you were here at the turnaround strategy. So I'm sure you didn't come down here just for the ride. You will have to answer to us. Because otherwise, why have you guys appointed somebody to do turnaround, paid for his trip from Joburg to Cape Town, for him just to come and sit and look pretty? He's going to have to answer some of these questions.
Well,
I think
you should look handsome.
Oh, handsome, yes. Yeah, you know, because I worked with him many years ago, but you understand what I'm saying. But what I'm saying, Mr. Mutobozi, and to you, if you go to page 87, it says internal audit, the internal audit function did not evaluate. No, don't worry, I'll read it for you. The internal audit function did not evaluate the effectiveness of controls, did not evaluate reliability, did not evaluate compliance, did not assist the operational procedure. It did nothing. That's what auditor generally said. It did nothing. And that's why I was asking you, sir, when are you going to do it? Because unless you fix this thing up, and I'm sure if I went to last year's one, it would say the same thing to me. I honestly don't think, Deputy Minister, we can continue like this. I honestly don't think so. Because we're going to get a point where we're going to say this is fruitless and wasteful expenditure. If these three individuals are sitting in our offices and did nothing, they did nothing about it, you are going to pay for this fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I think I want to leave it with that with internal audit, because I think that we are making the point, and we will resolve later on. If we go to the audit committee, is the chair here? Oh, you have for the audit committee. You are here. Sir, you last year, or this financial year, indicated that audit committee was not doing it work. I mean, you were not happy. You concurred with the auditor general. The year before, you also concurred with the auditor general. Maybe just one area where you disagreed with the auditor general. But by and large, you concurred with the auditor general. Now, the question that I want to ask you, sir, is are you just working in this department for compliance sake, or are you adding value to this department? Are you here just because we said at some point every department would have an audit committee, or are you here adding value to the department? What is your assessment?
Oh, thank you, sir. Yeah, I think to answer the question, we need to understand the role of the audit committee.
No, we understand the role. Sincerely, to understand the role of the audit committee. Now, what is asking you is, address yourself. Do you think you have been effective in terms of your own capacity and in terms of doing your work, or in terms of whether, once you have done your work, does it get used? Does it inform the decisions that management take? I think that's the title of those two things.
All right. I think to contextualize that, we need to look at our last report, where all of these issues that have been discussed were taken highlighted in terms of our concerns. Right.
I want to talk about issues of capacity, because we've discussed that for a long time. I think for us, it's sort of like it highlights, you know, the key issues, the root causes that are responsible for all of these challenges. One being the fact that there was lack of effective supervision and monitoring mechanisms within the department, which led to those significant gaps in controls, especially in reporting, financial reporting performance, etc. All right, and also linking with the issues of the database. In terms of our role to identify those concerns, those control gaps, and to highlight to management in terms of this is what's wrong, this is what needs to be fixed, we've done our role, our duties.
Okay.
It is up to management to roll up their sleeves and implement those findings, including the findings of the 80s.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. It was the non-double, is it, sir? Yeah. It is, sir, I'm asking you that question. You and my colleague will be surprised. You know, sir, your audit report is literally a cut and paste. It's literally a cut and paste. Your conclusion this year, the year we're talking about, notwithstanding the challenges during the statutory audit and explanation above, we are concerned that DMV is still challenged in many areas of leadership internal audit this year. And this thing you signed in July 31, 2015, and it carries on. If I read what you signed in October, 30th of October 2014, notwithstanding the rough issues, we are concerned. This last year you said the audit committee. Here you're saying we are concerned that DMV is still challenged in many areas of leadership, internal order, fund. Exactly the same. Exactly the same. Now, the first problem that I have is that it's exactly the same, that it shows that there's no thought that we would look at it. Not whether it's you or the audit committee. You know, you can't bring something to Parliament and think you didn't read last year one. It's an insult to me. It's an insult to me. Mr. O'Keller, you know that, since I've had this fight with you. It's just an insult that you come with last year's stuff and you think politicians don't do it. And that's what I'm asking you, sir. You can come and say to me, last year, the challenge was leadership, it was this and it was this and it was that. 2014 on the 3rd of October. 31st of July, a year later, you come and give Parliament the same thing. And you think that we should sit here and say that this audit committee should also continue. That's the other problem that we have. That's the other problem that we have. So if you're the audit committee, you pick it up. It doesn't improve. You pick it up a year later. I would expect that you guys would at least come to us or to the minister and say, Minister, Department A is not performing. So that Minister or the DG, I mean, Minister or the Deputy Minister can take your side and help you, because you and I are supposed to be on the same side. But I'm just frustrated, sir, that you are cutting and pasting. That's all that I'm saying. I don't want to comment. I'm just frustrated that you're cutting and pasting, and I'm suggesting that if they are not assisting you, escalate it. And I'm saying this, sir, because let me give you the benefit of the doubt. You see, you look at one department. These people here look at 35 departments. We see the trend. What they doing to you, Sokwela and them did to correctional services. What they doing to you, they did to correctional services when you were the CFO of correctional services. Totally undermined the audit committee. Sabotaged the audit committee. Fired the audit committee. Not fired them because they can't, but just made them useless. We know, because we see it from a helicopter view. You don't. So I'm suggesting to you, go and talk to the deputy minister. And don't ever come back and sign a document to SCOPA that looks the same as last year's document. Don't ever do that again. And really, I'm not being nasty, but don't ever do that again, because it really insults the South African people. I represent people of South Africa. I can't have a document that is a cut and paste. It just frustrates the living whatever out of me, Chairperson.
And they will comment when they're done. They can comment, but I don't think that we can sit and continue. I want to then go to leadership. No, on leadership, Mr. Sakala. On page 87. I just want to read one line to you. The Auditor General says, supporting the annual financial statements, and I'm reading from between, findings on the performance report and non-compliance with regulation were identified. A significant number of the reported findings are recurring issues and prior qualifications have not been addressed. The point that we're making, Mr. Sakala, is that for 2 years, and I would venture to say if we looked at your interim audit now, we'd get the same thing. I would venture to say that because you joined in January, 2 months before the year. There's very little you can do for the 2016 year. Very little. So it means year end 2014, year end 2015, year end 2016, we'll probably find the same thing. I would venture to say we'll find the same thing. We'll find the same thing on the internal audit. Because you're only going to change it after financial year in 2016. So it means this is going to be reflected in 2016. It means your procurement, in some instances, goods and services quotations were not obtained. Suppliers' tax matters were not verified. Audit evidence could not be obtained by the Auditor General. These are all internal audit matters. As we speak, we've got less than 30 days for the financial year. You don't have an audit committee. So it means that, Chair, what we see here, I can guarantee you we're going to see next year. I've been in SOFA for 21 years. I know, Mr. Sakala, you know that I know. What we see here, we're going to see. Why did we even bring these chaps down here is the question that I'm asking. I'm saying at some point we must look at it. I think it would be better if we went to Deputy Minister and Minister and sat and told you how grave the situation is. I think maybe that's going to be more helpful, Deputy Minister. If we sat with you and we said to you, Bunzi, my dear department, I can assure you that this report will be the same thing. I can assure you your next report is going to be exactly the same. You had a disclaimer, you got qualifications, serious findings. You're probably going to have the same thing this year. And we have to fix it. We have to fix it. So, Chair, I think let me end there. You were saying that at the end you will try and help and summarize. I think the point that I'm making and that we were making for the record is that internal audit is a replica of what it was last year in terms of its inefficiencies. Leadership, we read what the Auditor General said, and you're concurring with me, it's going to be the same because we haven't changed it at the end of the year. Financial performance, I think my colleague has spoken about both the preparation of the annual report and also the asset readiness and so on. It hasn't changed. The only issue that I want to talk about is consequence management. Mr. Sakala, we're going to make an example of a few departments this year in terms of implementing the Public Finance Management Act. And that act says if we can find, as Mr. I always forget his name, as Tim Cruz, the Section 38 says that if the accounting officer is guilty of negligence, of not doing whatever, it constitutes a misconduct. And then Section 87 says if that misconduct, or if we can prove that there's a misconduct, the accounting officer is liable for a fine or a prison sentence of 5 years. So this is not a civil matter, it's a criminal matter. I hope you understand what I'm saying, gentlemen. This is not a civil matter. When it says you are liable for a sentence, it's a criminal matter. We don't want you to be one of them. I can assure you that before the end of this year, at least two DGs are going to face criminal charges at least two. We don't want you to be number three, Baba. We don't want you to be number three. I don't know what you're going to do, but make sure that you're not number three. Because I'm saying this to you in public. At least two are going to be charged criminally. We don't want you to be number three. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, comrade. I think the point that you were making was kind of the basis of why I asked to cut the comrade go short and also part of that. That listening to the response, I quickly realized that no, maybe we needed to have a political discussion. The minister and the deputy minister are talking to us because with administrators, we're not getting anywhere. We're not getting anywhere because of the circumstances. You see, comrade deputy minister, last year, just to refresh my memory, when we came here, who was the accounting officer? Matumi. Yeah, Mr. Matumi. And then he left. And then General Mati was the acting accounting officer. And then, but not for the year under review. And then 2 months ago, Mr. Sokela, I don't know whether it's Mr. Sokela or General Sokela or Brigadier, just Mr. Okay. Mr. Sokela is now the accounting officer. So the year is ending now in 2 weeks' time. Then we're going to have an annual report in September. One piece for Motume for about 4 months or 3 months, and then for 7 months or 8 months as General Marquet, and then for 3 months it was Mr. Sokhe. How then do you do accommodate that kind of situation? And these people are supposed to account. Don't appoint themselves. It is the political leadership that is responsible. So if you have this constant instability, it makes our sitting here and talking just a waste of time. And mentally, in terms of us being able to grapple with the issue. But you see, we deal with what kills the patient. We deal with the past. So your future plans are of no substantive significance for us sitting here. We want to understand the past. What kills the patient? That's what they're interested in. So if you have new people who come and say, look, I'm here now, this thing won't happen, I really am going to do. So I think that's why the comrades I intervened, they can cut it short, because they realized, you know what, we're not getting anywhere. And maybe it is a political talk that we should be hearing more. Why are we here? How did we get to this? And how to get out of it? So, just to give context, I think that's where I was. I see, I'm not sure what you want to say, COVID no member and my former speaker. Oh, okay. Yes. Let's go.
Chairperson, I agree with your summary and what comrades have said earlier. But the problem with the department is that nobody wants to take blame. Nobody wants to own fault. You know, you did this, you did that. I did not do it. Yes, I did my books. Somebody did me up the sleeve. But actually, nobody did anything. Nobody wants to do anything because they're going to blame someone. And I was hoping earlier on that the gentleman who's heading the turnaround of the department, Chairperson, I was hoping that the gentleman who's doing the turnaround, sharing the turnaround of the department was going to say something. Because if you listen to the discussions from the morning until now, you can tell why the military veterans are frustrated. you go to a military veteran's house, they don't even have an RTP because they don't qualify. They're staying in Mikuku. And I don't want to talk about the proper funerals and what they're going through. But you can tell that nobody can. I mean, we cannot come here and listen to the wish list. No, I wish this was like this, this, this. Because you wish forever. We're not talking about wishes and what can you do or what can't you do. We need a plan. A strategic plan, that's what Parliament gives you budget for. But if you make a plan that you don't even know what the plan is about, because what most of the officials are doing, they cut and paste. Because if they do something wrong in this department, they will be changed to another department or even be promoted, which is very wrong. So just cut and paste and you know, people not wanting to do proper plans, we're going to have a problem forever. And I'm saying we're not enjoying this at all. And we are all sure that come September, the military veterans will get the same report. Because there's no one who wants to take leadership in this department. That's what's frustrating. And earlier on, the deputy minister said they shifted somebody because that person was not performing okay. But that's why it's important when you, before you hire a senior personnel, you need to know their expertise, you need to know their qualifications and everything. You can't just take somebody because of whatever reason. If you take somebody who's incompetent and expect different results, it's not going to happen. You will get results that are as the same as that incompetent person. So I'm just saying we need to take ourselves seriously. People have died trying to serve, you know, abantu abamnyama. So it's very important to give back to our people in a decent way. Thank you.
And what? Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm not going to venture into lamentation. Conclusion is that there's a crisis. And it hinges on what I term musical chairs in terms of management and position. So that's been very clear. And it's probably the basis of why we're in this crisis. So the musical chair syndrome. Yes, of course. Just have share only two or three requests moving forward of what maybe could assist us understand better what has happened. The Deputy Minister has alluded to the fact that the DG was not performing. I think it's only fair for the committee to be finished with the areas of non-performance in terms of the assessment that the Minister and the Deputy Minister did, so that we can be able to benchmark that against the findings of the Auditor General, so that where we are able to pursue a legal action, we do that, because somebody must be held accountable. It cannot be non-performance in a vacuum. So I accept that the Deputy Minister said that it was performance, but I would take greater comfort in understanding the specifics around that non-performance, so that we can be able to see exactly what happened there. Secondly, chairs is around the musical chairs of the CFO. I have tried to make head and tail of this, and I just cannot understand who is who in the zoo around that particular one, because it goes on to the literature that you've just made earlier on about the segmentation of the this person, that person, that person. Can we be finished with who was where and how, who was acting for who, and the circumstances of why so and so is not there, so that all of that can come into perspective. So the final request is that the turnaround strategy is here. Can we be privy to the turnaround strategy? Because I would want to believe that it will speak to the root cause of the problem. Because I believe that the turnaround strategy is not going to be in a vacuum also. It will have to be passed from somewhere. And so if it is an honest assessment and diagnosis of the problems of the department of the turnaround strategy, it will better contextualize the challenges that we have. Finally, Chair, the audit committee, as Honorable Smith has pointed out, cut and paste. I, for one, also do not, I was quite concerned when I saw it as well, but pointed it out. Can the audit committee apply its mind on a proper report to this committee in terms of what is happening? If, even if it means us being furnished with
the minutes and the resolutions that they have taken, to whom those matters were escalated to, so that we can find out whether the responses were positive or otherwise to the matters that the audit committee raised. So can the audit committee pull up its socks and give us something which is far, you know, something far more meaningful than this, you know, tip of the iceberg cosmetic report which is cut and paste. I think those are the things that will assist us as a committee better interact and engage the political leaders so that we can come to a logical conclusion in terms of what actions we're going to take as a committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I just have to raise just a few issues. One, the department is supposed to have its own vote 2 years ago. It doesn't have its own vote, but one can understand under the circumstances that the department is operating that they're incapable of having their own vote. The MPAT report, and Honourable Smith is actually a repeat of most of the things that were not achieved. So the MPAT report is actually a very damning report of little progress that's been made in this department.
Which report?
The MPAT. That's an assessment of all the departments. Each and every department has an MPAT report, and all the key indicators, whether it's governance, leadership, internal audit, etc., are listed, and the DPME provides that report. It's available. Go through that report and you'll see that most of the unperformance is repeated. The other one is the lack of capacity. The lack of capacity goes back to the issue of recruitment. And unless this department decides not to appoint people on relationships or some type of connection or something, and it's strictly based on performance and merit, we're going to have a serious problem going ahead. This department is going to have done a skills audit. The audit has never been submitted to us. We don't know the capacity of that department, but that department has a funded complement of staff of 169. We see the critical vacancies, and in addition to that, there's about 50 additional posts of interns, contract posts, and secondments of other departments that's working in this department. So this department is oversubscribed in terms of staff, but yet its underperformance is a dilemma. You can see that they have too many people, but people that are not doing any job properly. And that goes back to the root cause. Who is responsible for recruitment? Who makes the assessment? And who makes the final appointment of people that works for this department that is incompetent? The other one is, of course, in terms of consequence management, I appreciate the comments made by the committee. And I would like to note also for the committee that there is charges being laid against this department by the CFO, who was a whistleblower in the case of many issues, irregularities in this department. We have not been able to get the report on the investigation that has been effectively abandoned because the CFO was not available to actually report on these matters. So there's a case coming up, and most of these issues that we're speaking about will actually come to the fore. Thank you very much, sir.
I wanted to round up and allow the gentleman from the turnaround strategy team to maybe say something.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm partly covered by what other honorable members have already talked about, because I wanted to raise two big issues. It's on the issue of the CFO. But now the honourable members just alluded that there's a case that is coming against, because I wanted to check if the previous CFO was charged because of the negligence of what the department has come to about today. And the second one, Chairperson, it was on our work as a committee. It was a suggestion, Chairperson, because I think we are seeing this as a trend, that every time we call a department or an entity to come here, you will find that the department will bring in new people. I thought maybe I should register it, that it be recorded, Chairperson, that in future when we have hearings where a department has a change of leadership, management leadership, can't we try, Chairperson, and try to find and trace whoever was at the helm, the one was responsible for the audit outcome. I don't know, Chairperson, if you get my point. So that we don't round around every time we come to a hearing, it's either we postpone because we don't get the
correct answers that must get. I think maybe on our side we should be able to go an extent of finding out who was there, who was responsible for this audit outcome. So that we are able to trace that particular person, because most of them are all of them, if I can say, 99% of them, they are in the employ of the state. It's just that they change positions. I think that's my submission. Thank you.
No, thanks. I'm also not going to follow the questions that I wanted clarity on, because unfortunately one is in the trend. But I just want to talk to one issue. That maybe as a committee we are also making mistakes. The law is very clear. It is on our side. The accounting officer is responsible. The accounting officer is a successor in law. Therefore, you cannot delegate this responsibility to somebody that we don't know. Whoever is accounting at the point that is at that point in time must give us answers. And if he or she cannot do that, he must take the blame, because the buck stops with the accounting officer. My view, Chairperson, is very simple. We are not going to assist the department to go and trace people, whether they are within the employment of the state or not. All that we are saying is, the current accounting officer must take that is responsibility for all these issues. If we need information, say you are responsible. And if there are problems in the department, you are the current accounting officer. Therefore, you must take full responsibility. And if we are to lay charges, it is just unfortunate. We'll have to lay charges against you. You will then assist us. That is in looking for all those people. But it is not our responsibility as a community to move around looking for people who were acting before. It is their responsibility. I think I wanted to make that point very clear.
No, I do hope that after members of parliament have expressed their views, there is a clear understanding, Mr. Sokel, that we are seriously concerned that our own people and our own computers are dying like papa. And it seems as if whatever we've created for them called DMV, you don't have a consciousness. You don't care about them. You take it as normal. Because you see, if you put the ruler down, chapter 6, you look at correctional service, where Mr. Dokela was, and you look at DMV, it's going to be the recurring of problems again. You see, there's nothing worse. Deputy Minister, you hear that this department don't care about the law. They don't comply with the law, with the legislation that happens there. That's what the Auditor General says. Now, it says a lot that what type of people are these who don't care about the law? Are these soldiers? I mean, soldiers are here to uphold the law. What type of characters are these who don't care about the law that you're supposed to? But these who are running a government of, running a constitutional state. And these ones don't care. They wake up in the morning, they say, how much money do you don't you have in your pocket? And they share it among themselves. What type of a department is that? It runs 2 million. I mean, it's not even a lot of money. We are here, we are able to contest the department that has gone into focus expenditure around billions. Now, these ones can't run a proper department only on a small amount. What type of character are these, if ever? You have a consciousness, Deputy Minister, to think through what type of people are employing here in this particular department that would allow our own leaders, our own people, to die like this, like Papa. They have got a transfer of money back to the department to treasure. What type of a situation is that? We can be happy. We know each other, we love each other, but there's no way we can continue carrying the blame on behalf of officials that don't want to take responsibility. It can happen in that particular way. We have to take responsibility. The law allows us also to go to the executive, but we have not been trading and trying to challenge the executive. But as parliament, we do get wary about this environment. You can't have people who don't understand the law, who don't want to comply with the legislation that govern themselves. The chairperson is gone out of the defense committee. I would have asked him that what type of thing is this where people don't even look at the act before they do things. You don't look at the slips. I mean, when the Auditor General comes there, they can't find slips to be able to take them to account. So it's quite clear that the fiscal has been abused here. You see? People people take money, buy each other petrol, come to the fleet. And they've got their own internal audit. Who does it? Comes yesterday. We know this type of issue. We know it. Departments are changing people on the eve of the audit to another. Departments are changing people when it comes to swap. And when we want to have answer, we sit with this problem. That's why the same thing. It's not even a sentiment. The law is on our side. And we are very clear. We like each other or we don't like each other. As copper, we are going to go for arrest. Because you can't have a South African government that goes down. I mean, Zuma would never be happy. It has his own administration thinks him and him blame about corruption. When the conduct of our own people here, who are supposed to be officers, is not able to maintain the dignity of our own people and the dignity of our own country. And we provide them with laws. Friendship doesn't work here. We've got one thing, one rule. You don't do what is good for our people. You either leave us or you can go and take you to change. That we are willing to do. And that we've been authorized to be able to do by our own structure. That we're accounting for. And we're not going to be bowed to that particular approach that we've taken in this particular committee. That people must pay. People must pay kindly that we sit here and lament. We're not lamenting. We've taken this thing very serious. The MV we gave the chance for a year. This thing of them thinking that we don't know that the CFO doesn't exist. We know. We were fighting in front of us here. Until the chairperson threw his witness and said, let's make sure that they keep them away from the public eye and give them an opportunity to rearrange. I do hope that turn around strategy to know talk to reality. Because we know this thing. People know it's not our call to go around about turn around strategy. To look at finances or exactly what goes into the department. But we have given the TMB enough time to improve its own work. But it doesn't look as if it cares. And that is the challenge. That's why you see the situation is frustrated because we pleaded with them the last time that we were here. Go and sort out your house and come back with good results. But you see what, from what Honorable Vincent is now saying, the third year, after we've given them an opportunity to improve, nothing is going to seem to be improving here. I'm going to repeat the same thing.
All right. Lastly, protesters, and then we'll give the gentleman from the turnaround team, and then Commissioner, I'm sure you've been noting and listening, and then we'll give you, maybe before we'll also give the gentleman from the audit committee. Yeah.
Just for the committee to note, the charges that you referred to by Honorable Essa, we're not against Sikile Chimanova. It's against the department. That CFO is instituting action against the department, not the other way around. So I think, just as a note here, I think we need to know about that as well. Why is that CFO instituting charges against the department? Because that could lead to more frequent and wasteful expenditure. So I think if we can just note that when we make our request to the department, we need info as to why that happened. Not that he's emailing him, he's emailing us. He needs to know about it. Thank you.
Well, that's fine. Let me give the gentleman from the audit committee before I...
Thank you, Chair. Just a few things I want to highlight. We will, as an audit committee, we will dig up the advice from this committee that we escalate these matters to this committee to scope, and we will arrange meetings with your office chair for regular updates on these issues, as well as meetings with the Minister of Defense, notwithstanding to the fact that those meetings with the Minister of Defense have been taking place in the sphere of arranging those as well. But we will escalate those things. And on the other issue that was raised, the report that is required by this committee, in terms of the resolutions taken by the audit committee, will provide you that information. In that report, you will notice that as a committee, we raised the issues of accountability or lack thereof, the issues of consequence management, and many other issues that concern around gaps in controls and reporting, etc. And I would like to emphasize that we see the work of this committee hand in hand, or in terms of what we as an outside committee are trying to do. Okay.
and we are limited in a number of ways, but we are heartened by the progress we are seeing in terms of these appointments of key people and promises that we got that there will be more appointments going on. And we look forward that throughout that process, the key issues of effective leadership and monitoring on all of these things, looking at the control gaps, the policies, the procedures that are not there, and the accountability of everyone within the department in terms of their roles and responsibilities. We expect to see improvement in those areas.
Thank you very much. Gentlemen, let me hand over to you. I don't know whether you are appointed as an individual or you represent the consulting firm or what. I think I'm interested to have that light.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm so glad you're asking that question. Because it speaks to the core approach of the turnaround thing. And I was going to outline it very briefly that the turnaround thing here is not going to be your PwC. That's the strategy we emphasize. And sometimes a little bit of a tension arises because we do not believe that the solution of the problems of the military veterans can be derived without their participation. And therefore, the structure of the turnaround, very briefly, is to incorporate military veterans formally at the resource panel. And so, therefore, I do not represent myself as an individual here. I was just going to make one or two remarks. Sorry if there is something
not clear. I'm happy to repeat. Sorry.
Please continue.
All right. The turnaround team was appointed by the minister in September of 2015 and comprises seven steering committee members as well as resource people. I will just give a summary here because a number of the issues that have been highlighted here as the challenges for the department, the turnaround team already in 2 months' time were able to tabulate and in fact were ready to present those to the portfolio committee of November, but because of the labor strike, we're not able to do so. The approach of the turnaround team is not to compile a document and a list of recommendations that will be acted upon at the end of the term, but it is to work very closely together with the department for the same reason that there are these concerns from the portfolio committee. I'm not sure if I should proceed or maybe wait.
My sincerest apologies. No, continue. I need to sort something out urgently so that I can concentrate properly. Yes, no, continue.
Thank you very much. I was just saying, Chair, that the approach of the turnaround team is not to sit and tabulate a list of recommendations that will be acted upon at the end of the term, but it is to work very closely with the department and management and actually even advise the minister on that. And towards that end, all these findings that have been discussed here, the turnaround team actually has even a much more colorful picture of the issues to be addressed and is happy to share these at any moment. And in fact, we're ready to do so already by November and present these to the portfolio committee, but unfortunately, because of the labor unrest, the turnaround team was unable to do so. So the basic approach is to identify the issues and then generate recommendations and advice and share that with the department instead of waiting until the patient is actually dead. And that is the analogy we actually use, saying that we wouldn't want a situation whereby we think we are developing a remedy and after 6 months or 18 months, by the time that prescription is ready, the patient has already died. So that is the basic approach. And the turnaround team are very happy to, on a continual basis, share their strategy
together with the relevant authorities here in Parliament, and then they already have actually done so. It will sound like a repeat of the issues that have been highlighted here in terms of what they are, but the approach more is to what therefore to do. And on a continuous basis, we have been able to interact with the office of the DG, starting with General Marquez when we came in, and now with the current incumbent, where we share approaches, solutions, and advice, and where possible, they act upon it. It's not going to serve any purpose to go through those now because they have been tabulated. I'll just make maybe one example where our interventions have been noted and they have made a difference perhaps. In the area, as we all know now, this is a period where children are going back to school and bursaries have got to be paid. And this is occupying the attention of the turnaround team in terms of developing advice which will be helpful to the department. And so we're very busy with that and pointing to them the dangers of particular approaches that have been used in the past. For example, the two disclaimers were largely due to the pre-transfers. One of these transfers was to NSWAC, as already has been indicated here, and the other one was to DHS. That it would not solve the problem if another transfer were to happen. So in relation to a particular approach that was taken to appoint a company, in this case, I think EduLoan, we are interacting with the department to say, this is not how to do it, otherwise you may solve the problem temporarily now, but you are creating a bigger problem going forward. So that made out there may be a perception that the turnaround team is anti-EduLoan. I'm just making that as an example because it's going to be very current, it's going to be out there, because that particular company was actually contracted to provide a particular service which it is rendering, but now a pre-transfer from the department of large amounts of money to that company would now constitute this risk area that we have been talking about here, just as an example. Similarly, also in housing. So these can be shared openly in a structured way, and there are quite a number of them. And just as an indication here, we are able to share these at this stage. We have been able to determine all these and perhaps even much more of the witnesses that have been indicated here, but they're focusing more on generating solutions around them. And indeed, ourselves being military veterans, I guess if one can even allude to that, we take these issues very seriously and very much to heart. And our approach is to make sure that military veterans are involved in the solution they're finding.
Right. Thank you very much. And I hope nobody else has questions so that we can round up here. Yes?
May I ask you a question? What you're saying sounds very good. But my question, when I'm sitting here, I'm asking myself, has he communicated that message to the especially to the senior level? Because if he had, I don't think we'd be having the same answers that you were having. So communication, I think, is a problem, Chairperson.
My question is this capacity. You know, I know we all hate consultants and we don't want them in. We shouldn't hate consultants. They're experts who try to help us. The question is capacity. Does your turnaround team have the capacity? I'm not trying to be finicky, but I notice on your report you don't know how to spell diagnostic. It's D-I-A, not D-I-G. So, do you have the capacity to do the job? And that's all I want to know.
More than perhaps could be indicated by a typo error here. And if it comes to that side of things, you are actually talking to a taskmaster who is very much particular, even with spelling.
and then people will tell you something about the background of the person who is leading this team as a teacher and everything else, and as a successful businessman. But that is just an aside, because I think that was also a light moment. Yes, the capacity is there. I didn't go into what actually the structure looks like, except to indicate there is a steering committee, resource people. We approach our work through work streams, so we have involved a number of people from across all the formations, from MK to your ZAPO, to your Azanla, your former liberation movements, to your...
I beg your pardon, Azanla, but
you can't
forget Afla and remember Azanla when they just...
Well, there's another one. I was told it's AP Sinla. APC. No, sorry. I do beg your pardon there, but I think the point that we're making is that across the statutory and the non-statutory, we have been able to harvest those military veterans who have shown capability. So from that point of view, and I do apologize for that, honorable member. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Just a short question to the member of the turnaround team. Can you, I'm not quite sure in my mind, but I'd just like to be quite clear with regard to the status of the turnaround team. Have you been appointed by the department and by the minister, or when was the appointment done, and at what cost are you involved in the department? Are you an external appointment, and you say you're not an ATMG? Appointment. I just want to know more about the qualifications and status of the turnaround team, and when the appointment was done and at what cost.
Thank you for the question, member. The appointment took effect from September of 2015. We are appointed as a team by the minister. It's a ministerial project that came as a result of an outcry from veterans out there, out of the difficulties of service delivery. As I understand,
can we allow the minister to be the one that gives us particular detail about the constituting of the committee itself, rather than taking it from there? Because the minister had asked for an apology. She would have been able to provide enough information.
All right. I think let's not go into the details. We can discuss the details when the minister is here, and then ask questions for justification and rationale or whatever decision. But yes.
Can I also come in? I think Honorable Boy is correct. All what you requested that is for this team. It's just an executive summary, and I think they have done that. And the report, the intention of the report is not for this committee. I think we are now losing that side of what we are supposed to do. They have given the information, it's fine, well then that just continues. I don't think it is correct for us now to interrogate that is in their report.
I think, Honorable Rob, I think maybe let's not put them in an uncomfortable position to talk about the firm. If the deputy minister during his time has the fact, I think he can talk to your questions. I think that will be a bit fair. If not, depending on what you define, if we have another opportunity when the minister is here, then we can then go to him. I think so. And then maybe let's park it there. And allow the deputy minister to talk to issues that have been raised that he thinks or that he might have an interest in a minute or two to talk to. Otherwise, from our side, we are done.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. We really appreciate your frank engagement with the department, and that we take note of your observations, your concerns, and advices. It is clear to us that the picture is clear, and we are expected at the department to take the issues very seriously. I have raised these things with them, they are aware. We have the deputy minister delegated. I will meet with the minister and through the minister as a matter of agency. And also we'll go to our own meeting, meet with the department and review the outcome of today's meeting. We will also would like also to have a meeting, I think, with the minister when she comes back to meet with the scope. But we are also saying to us, the department needs a hands-on approach, because we cannot allow military veterans out there, and I hope they are not going to make sit-ins as they usually do, not because of their liking, but because of the frustrations of the department. And I raised it with the department many a time, that we need to pull up our socks as a department. They are not there for themselves. That department was created because of the cry outside there of the military veterans. I think you are also saying to us, we need also to be very firm as the executive, that if people are not performing, why they should not resign and leave the department. And we have people who will come and do the work of the department and look after the military veterans. These are people who are not going to be there for a long time, especially your former liberation armies. These are the people who are dying gradually, they are getting old. We cannot wait for a long time. We cannot get the money back to treasury that is supposed to deliver the services to the military veterans. But we are very clear, we have listened, we have heard to the person, we have heard the committee, comments of the members that we must pull up our socks, and we as the executive will make sure that when we come back next time, the report would have changed. It would be a better report, not in a sorry state. It would be in a very better state of a living department that is expected to roll out the benefits to the military veterans and to those who passed on for this freedom that we are enjoying here today. Thank you very much for that, Shepherd.
Well, Commissioner Deputy Minister and the officials, we want to thank you very much. Commissioner Treasury, Auditor General, Comrade, we want to thank you very much for today. Just to say that we want to see the picture changed. I don't know, maybe because I'm not a civil servant and might not be, but I just don't understand. It just came to my mind. How on earth do we fail to do just the right thing for ourselves, for our own people? How does it happen? It just defies logic to me, from where I'm standing, that we'll be given the resources by Parliament, say, here are the resources. Your own people who made it possible for you to become deputy ministers, to become teachers, to become this and that, the food soldiers who are down there. And somehow we just don't care about them. It just does not make sense. And I'm not sure if there's anybody else you would claim to care for. If you can't care for people that they, some of you know on first name basis. Justify logic. I don't know, you know, I don't want to venture to politics. You know, sometimes abandoning the mental question does affect our sense of consciousness about the task in front of us, our sense of national responsibility. Not only for you, but even departments. If it's a CFO in professional services or Department of Energy, you have a national responsibility. How do you position yourself vis-à-vis the responsibility? And you come here and talk about things. I mean, I'm listening to the gentleman of the turnaround. I mean, the thing is talking about just common sense. But maybe it's too scientific. It sounds so simple. What they're advising you and what the old committee is advising the department, I'm not sure what the difference is.
the payment. I mean, what's the general made finding on that thing? Why do they need to advise about that? I just don't understand. Hopefully one day I'll understand why grown-up people given responsibilities come and act in ways that it's just the opposite. I struggle with that. I really do. And here we are, working with you. We're saying, please, get capacity. So, well, I hope we're covered, depending on what you decide, maybe when the minister is here, you can talk to this thing. I mean, you can't just chop and change, not right and send it like that, and somehow you expect continuous forward momentum, movement. We're seriously defamed and embarrassed. Continue to sit here every time and talk to officials who don't do their work. Some of us will feel embarrassed because it reflects on us as well. Yeah, people. Useless, hopeless, can't do simple, basic things. If they have the skills, they just can't do the right things, only do the wrong things. Yeah, well, if I talk a lot, it's complete minister, I'm claiming on the general market, but I just can't. Process the things in my head. Why we should sit here and talk to them. Very basic things that should be done. I struggle with that. But anyway, let's go into specific things. Kumbit, next week Tuesday, the department called Correctional Services. Not sure how correct it is. It is correctional services once again. Okay. And then, yeah, so that's the only one we'll have on Tuesday. And once again, we have no focus areas. The minister will come and talk to us. Correctional services. All right. The community minister and the officials, thank you very much. And both.
Perhaps I have a business card. I just need your name because you keep crossing this in the cash for my report. Can you write it down for me, please? Just your name. Your full name, please. I'm sorry about today, I heard it from you.